This episode of Keep Classical Weird is supported by Aligned Artistry, offering exceptional public relations consulting to artists, arts organizations, and artistically minded businesses. Aligned Artistry helps clients expand the impact of their work through refined and modernized branding and communication channels, leading to increased patronage and revenue, and allowing clients to do more of what they love. Information is available at alignedartistry.com. Hey friends, it's me, Casey. Today is a DC Alfine episode, and I'm running it for a couple of reasons. One is that I recorded it nearly a year ago, which boggles my mind. I mean, time truly has no meaning. But the second reason is because I am raising funds for a truly silly purpose. If you're a regular listener, you might remember Dr. Sophia Taggart and I waxing poetic about how to get audiences more excited about classical music events, and being the absolutely brilliant minds that we are, we threw out the idea of t-shirt cannons. Well, I am planning the next live event now, and I've started a GoFundMe for a KCW t-shirt cannon. It has already raised $132 as of this recording, and I'd love your help to get it the rest of the way funded. I'll provide the swag that will no doubt be flung at your face at a future live event, but I need your help for the original equipment. I have created a bit.ly for especially this purpose. Type in bit.ly/KCW cannon. That's bit.ly/KCW cannon, and it will take you straight to the GoFundMe page. Enjoy this extended live episode, and if the spirit from the very excited children moves you, please consider making a donation. Thanks so much for helping to grow this really goofy little community. Today on Keep Classical Weird, we are live at YMA! Weird House Band, led by Thomas Barber.
Hello.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad. That was your composition.
Yes.
So, Tom was the composer of the actual theme for Keep Classical Weird. But it was completely, was it completely electronic?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. So, this was his unplugged version of the Keep Classical Weird theme, which is excellent. And maybe I need to replace it now. I don't know. This is fantastic. So, how's camp going for you?
Oh, just fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
High points?
Some, yeah. Most. Mostly, yes.
Indeed. I've enjoyed mostly everything.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I really, granted, this year is kind of low-hanging fruit, but this has been an incredible camp experience so far. I'm thrilled to be here, and it's too short. It's almost over, and it's, like, too short.
I agree.
It always goes too quick.
I agree. It's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We were talking about that the other day, though. Like, time doesn't really exist, because I thought that Sunday was Monday, because it's a normal camp day, and the whole day, the whole week, I've just been like, when is it?
Plus, and Sunday and Monday rhyme, so that's hard to keep them apart.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yes. It's a big deal.
Hey, Tom. So before this camp, for how many years were you touring with your band?
2017. So I started a little bit after I started here at YMA.
Oh, cool. Wait, how many years have you been at YMA?
Since 2015.
So is this year?
What?
What did you say?
Oh, now you're shy.
So you started, you started with your band. Your band's name?
Our band's name is Dirty Revival.
That's a great band name.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a wild ride. The first year I toured with them, was I left YMA and like jumped in the tour van and then got back in September, and it was a long summer.
Were you unconscious when you got back?
Mostly.
I bet.
Yeah.
I would be. I'm not conscious right now.
No.
It's super asleep.
It's fugue state. It's like we're all dreaming.
I like it.
Yeah.
So you've probably got, you probably got like your finger on the pulse of good band names, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see where this is. I don't like this.
I developed a little game for you because band names, who's had a hard time figuring out a band name before, right? They're so hard, but sometimes you come up with like the most awesome ones and they sound really good, but they also sound like potentially other things.
Well, and they're like gremlins. If you come up with them after midnight, they're always inappropriate.
How long did it take to mention gremlins? We're not even 10 minutes
in. Did we just violate copyright?
No.
Sorry, lawyers.
I get to edit whatever I want here. So I developed a game for you. It's based on band names just because a lot of them are just very cool words. So the game is called Band Name, Portland Hair Salon, or Famous Horse. So it's exactly how it sounds. I'm going to say a word or a combination of words, and you're going to tell me whether it's a band name, a Portland Hair Salon, or a Famous Horse.
Wait. That's kind of complicated. Can you go over that one more?
Sure,
just
sure.
Kidding.
So...
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
Let's do this.
If you do well enough, you win a really cool prize.
I'm not sure how I feel that Casey picked me to be the one that did this game. Should I be complimented or
I picked the right person to do this
mildly
game, right?
Insulted.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do this.
All right. Number one, blue skin.
Horse.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
That was a, Blueskin was a famous horse of George Washington's.
Ooh.
I know, according to Wikipedia.
Mm.
All right, number two, Apple Nouveau.
That's got kind of a band named aftertaste, but I'm gonna go hair salon.
You are right again.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Isabel Blackwell.
This is a trick question because you want to say horse because it's a name.
I don't want to say anything.
I don't want
you to say stuff.
But then most band names aren't people names.
I love that you're trying to rationalize this game.
You know what? I'm going to go with... the choices. Rolling the dice. Hair salon.
You are right again.
Yes.
Three for three. Kara's Flowers.
Band name.
Yeah, you knew that one, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
No.
You're right.
Okay.
That was what I know.
I have the
four.
The sixth sense.
We're gonna keep going.
Okay. Uh-oh.
We're gonna keep going to see how long it takes you to miss one.
Okay.
That was Kara's Flowers, by the way, was what Maroon 5 was called before they were Maroon 5.
Okay.
All right, you ready for this one?
Yes.
This is my favorite one. Bucephalus.
Horse?
Yes. Can you see my screen? How are you doing this?
It's so silly that it could only be a horse name.
It could only be a horse. It was a famous
horse.
No
one would be like, I'm going to invest in a hair salon and name it Bucephalus. It's like a tonsil condition or something.
I actually thought about calling this band name Famous Horse or Medical Condition, and then I decided to go a happier route.
Yes.
Bucephalus was a famous horse of Alexander the Great. Golden Arrow.
I'm compelled to say band name.
That's your first miss.
Ah! Okay.
It's a hair salon.
I'll be. See, I don't ever go to hair salons. Why would I ever know this?
All right, we're almost done.
Okay.
Kinksome.
Sounds inappropriate. No.
It's not.
Okay, let's...
Legit, I
let's
promise.
Like metal band, maybe, or
it is a famous horse.
Oh.
Tom, you started out so strong. Okay, you ready? This is your last one.
Okay.
Girls Time.
Band name.
Yes.
Okay. 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 Not great, but okay.
For everybody playing games tonight, I brought prizes, but I didn't have time to go to the store and get prizes, so I just went around my apartment and picked stuff up. Thomas Barber, you are the winner of some gluten-free granola.
Yes. All right.
I am hoping you will stick around and be my house band for the whole podcast.
Funny thing, I have a horn in my hand.
Well, what?
I would be happy. Wait, do I have to actually play music? Can it be nonsense?
Oh, nonsense is always allowed.
Okay. Then my day just got even better. All right.
Awesome. Thomas Barber, everybody. Thomas Barber, with trumpet in hand, then took off, and this is not hyperbole, half ran and half skipped to the back of the stage, where there were a bunch of percussion instruments just waiting for his goofy inspiration. The structure of YMA is a farm system of sorts. Campers often come back several summers in a row, and are then aged into a counselor-in-training program, after which they can apply to come back as actual counselors. There are two experienced counselors hired on as senior counselors to oversee the vast majority of the camp, and that's who this next guest is. For a little additional context, I asked the campers to anonymously contribute to an Ask Me Anything session for all of our guests. So you'll hear me reference a box with a Q on the front, and that's the question box where I collected said questions. My first guest up here on the podcast, I would like to welcome, are you ready for an entrance something? Let's find out. My first guest that I'd like to welcome is Senior Counselor Etta Moen.
He's good.
Nailed it.
He's good.
He's good. I have a good husband, yeah.
Only the best.
Only the best. For YMA.
Obviously.
And for Keep Classical Weird. How are you, Etta?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How's camp going for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Excellent. Pretty good. We've We've had almost complete committal responses so far. I'm okay. Yeah, that's what I feel like it is. So, is this your first year as senior counselor?
It is.
How are you feeling like it's different than when you were a counselor?
Well, the really sad thing about being a senior counselor is that you don't get to go to classes. So I'm missing the music aspect of it all, but, it is pretty fun. I get to see all the behind the scenes that I didn't get to see as a counselor. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Is there anything, I don't want to give away trade secrets. Is there anything that's really was a surprise to you or you didn't know about now that you can see behind the scenes?
Well, I will say that Galen practices Foursquare way more than we think he does.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So no wonder.
It all makes sense now, doesn't it?
Okay. It does. Yeah. It does. The pieces come together.
Yeah.
Wow. I wanted to invite you up here specifically because your first year at YMA was my first year at YMA.
Yes.
And you were, do you remember how old you were?
Okay. So I did 1 year at second session and then I started coming to first session.
Okay. So your first session year, first session of first year.
Yeah. I think I was 10.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
about
were
this tall.
You were so little. We called you Little Etta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you came as a cellist.
Mm-hmm.
She was so cute. Everybody. Oh my gosh, she was so cute. And it was not. I mean, not as hot as this year.
No.
But it was hot.
Yeah.
That year.
So I made the mistake of not hydrating. I'm looking at all of you. Need to be hydrating. Anyway. And I was unable to perform in the final performance because I got, like, heat stroke, something. It wasn't pretty. Yeah.
It's what happened from my perspective was everybody came on stage and some people said, "Where's Etta?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll go check in the bathroom." And there you were.
Mm-hmm. Not having a good time.
Not having a good time. And this was, of course, my first year too when I didn't know what the protocol was. So I was like, okay, we'll just stay there and keep
puking in the toilet, like I said, I'm gonna go. And then finally I found your dad, mm-hmm. I think, out in the hallway. And so yeah. So that all worked out.
Yeah.
And then it was later on that I turned another corner and I saw Michael, orchestral conductor at the time, be like, there's only one chair left on stage. Where are you? And I was like, I was dealing with Etta and her heat stroke. I'm sorry I'm late, but it was a memorable first year.
Yeah.
Do you remember what piece we were playing?
I remember something by Dvorak.
That's right. It was Dvorak 7.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a good... Has anybody else here that year, too? This was a while ago. Yeah. That was John Hubbard's first year as well, yes. Yeah. So, our wonderful campers have some questions.
Oh, goody.
So what I'm going to do, in this question box, Q stands for question. For those of you who are not aware, I was so tired today that I had to check on my phone to make sure that this Q was facing the right direction. I was like, wait, does the thing go over here or over here? It didn't look like a Q no matter what, but my iPhone told me that was correct. All right, are you ready for a few camper questions?
Yeah.
How much do you practice?
Well, so funny thing about that, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't practice anymore. I'm sorry.
Let's pretend it, because you have just finished your bachelor's degree.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Etta has a bachelor's degree, everybody.
Thank you.
Phenomenal. So when you were practicing you started as a cellist and then mm-hmm. you transitioned over to choir.
Yes.
So how much did you practice in those days?
Well, when I was playing cello, it was probably maybe 30 minutes a day. I know, not great.
I appreciate
But you know, better
honesty.
Than nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always say. and then when I transitioned to choir, I was probably at least an hour a day because of school choir.
Did you count that little noise you just made right there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I bet you could get up to 2 hours if you did.
All right.
What is your worst personality trait?
God.
Listen, I'm sorry. I told y'all you could ask anything, and we went for the jugular. So, what is your worst personality trait, little Etta?
Oh, I know. I interrupt people a lot.
You just interrupted me.
I know, it's so bad. So bad. Yeah, I'm working on it. I don't know how well it's going, but
you could have worse. I think there are worse. All right, let's do one more.
Yeah.
Do one more. Okay, here we go. Good one. Oh, you'll like this one. When did you begin playing your instrument?
Oh, yeah, okay. So I started playing cello when I was 9 in fourth grade. So I'd only been playing for like a year when I came to YMA for the first time. And then
played Dvorak 7.
Yeah. I think I got about a quarter of the notes that were on the page, but you know.
Can I tell you a cute story that J-Hubs told me is that, I asked you permission as if I wasn't going to tell the
right.
story. Sorry. That was silly of me. As when Etta walked off stage at the dress rehearsal, because you made the dress rehearsal,
yeah,
just not the performance. She walked off stage and she, according to John Hubbard, she went, check. And John said, what do you mean by check? And she said, my first symphony. It's true.
Awesome. I don't remember it, but that feels like something
that
I would say.
Yeah, that rings true. Etta, thank you so much
for having me.
Etta Moen!
The music session of YMA allows you to have a concentration in orchestra, guitar, piano, or choir. The choir program is led by a husband and wife team, one of three spousal pairings in our faculty, oddly enough, and they are building a terrific program.
Next up, I would like to invite up the two heads of the choir department, Blake Applegate and Anna Song. Oh, this is a long one. There's another chair over there, too. You both are going to share a microphone if you're cool with that. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Do you need us to be closer?
Do it maybe a little bit closer if you can. Yeah, there we go. I don't know if you two are used to being in close proximity with one another or not, but...
We're okay with it.
Okay. So, Blake, you used to be a camper here at YMA.
That's true. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, what kind of differences are there now? That's a loaded question, I'm sorry.
The food's a lot better now.
The food is a lot better now, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
But it still kind of feels the same, even when you're a faculty, as it did when I was a camper. I don't know, I get the same energy from it. I'm always super happy, even when I'm super tired.
Does that ring true, campers? Yeah. I feel that. Anna, I met you, I believe, through email before I met you face to face. And you asked me to come play with your choir, and you signed it Anna Song. And I was like, well, of course. It's Anna Song. And you sing. How often does that come up for you?
Oh, not too often.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. No, it comes up a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, when I used to teach K-8 back in the day when I first moved to Oregon, and some of you may know there, I think she's still doing it, but she was a K-2 news reporter, and her name was also Anna Song. So my students would come to class, like my little first graders, and be like, I saw you on TV last night. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't me. But yes, music and song, I get that a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. Would you two be up for a couple camper questions?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Who was the worst conductor you've ever played with? Or sang with? I will say you don't have to name names. You can tell a story. Whatever.
No comment.
That's a good one.
It's really hard. Most of the people I liked a lot.
Anna?
The worst conductor.
The worst conductor.
Yeah, that's a hard, I don't know why that's such a hard one. I'm just drawing a blank.
It's okay. If I were in your seat, I don't think it would be as hard, but that's another story. It's nobody here, don't worry. Who is your favorite composer and why?
Oh, that's a hard one, too, but I can list several that I like. Well, Bach has to be definitely up there.
Let's hear it for Bach.
Yeah,
Bach. Give that guy a chance, yeah.
So I have to say why, too.
I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bach is just genius, and he just has checks all the boxes as far as ingenuity and emotion and just expression, and I don't know. There are literally no words to describe Bach, because it's amazing. Some of the other composers I love, I've always loved Bartok. He was one of my favorites when I was in college. And obviously, like, Josquin is also one of my big-time favorites.
Nice.
I just think, as far as the Renaissance composers, there's so many that I love, but I do have a particular special place for Josquin.
I don't know if you heard Dr. Sophia Tager gasp when you said that. I did. Because I think you have a connection there. Yes, wonderful. Blake?
Let me see here. I guess Bach was up way up there, but if I'm going to stick to choral music that I've sung a lot of, most, I would probably say there's a Spanish composer of the 16th century named Victoria, and I think he has about the most beautiful music ever written. Then there's an English composer, William Byrd, that I've had a long association with. Choir of mine hosts a William Byrd Festival every August, and we've basically sung all of his music over the years, and even pieces that haven't been published and all that. So those composers are maybe not my favorite. I love all genres of music and everything, but they're probably the closest to me on kind of a spiritual, musical level. So,
awesome. Those are solid answers. Those are solid answers. All right, Blake, you came to me the other day after a meal song, and I don't know if you were genuinely curious or you were just putting me on the spot, but you came up to me and you went, "What key is that? What key is that?" So, I thought I'd do a little test.
Oh, no.
To get back at you.
She'll always get it right.
All right, this is a game called Is This a C? I will play some stuff. You tell me if it's a C. Anna's like ready to go. Do you see this face?
I'm going to defer to Anna on this one.
That was not the intention of this game, Blake.
Okay.
All right, try this. Oop.
I don't think it's a C.
That's correct. It was a B natural. All right, here's another one.
No.
No? That's correct. It was an A flat. Let's spice this up a bit, shall we? Would you like that sound again?
It's like an A, maybe?
I think it's a C.
It's closer to a B flat.
I thought it was an A, but... Yeah.
Not quite an A. All right. Next.
That's a C.
That is a C. Good work. I got to choose one more, just because it's so good. So clear your, you know, clear your palate. Here we go. Do you need to hear that again?
Yes, please.
Okay.
It's close to a C.
I think so.
It's a little flat.
Go with your instinct, Blake. This is good.
Yes.
You said it's close to a C, but
close,
a little flat?
A little flat.
You're right. It's a B.
Oh, okay.
That was amazing! B for belch.
What are we going to get as a prize owner?
Oh, it's amazing. One of you will get some Mentos. The other one, a polar black cherry seltzer water. Song and Blake Applegate, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know this one?
Yeah. Sure, you know it. I would like to welcome a couple of my good friends for a musical interlude. Please welcome violinist Heather Mastel-Lipson and guitarist Mario Diaz.
Thank you.
when I started this podcast, I knew I would need a podcast music historian. And I knew exactly where I wanted to turn for this. And that was your favorite flute teacher here at camp, Dr. Sophia Taggart. Come up on stage. Go Royals. Royals was the first one you thought of?
Oh, I love the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, this is true. You were in Kansas City for your...
Doctorate.
For your doctorate. Mm-hmm. So you have... Okay, can you go through all the degrees you have? This is ridiculous.
Okay, so I have a performance degree, a bachelor's in performance, a bachelor's in history, which focused on... medieval history to about 1485. And then I have a master's in flute performance and a master's in music history, which focused on 19th century Italian opera.
It's four so far.
And then I have a doctorate in flute performance.
5 degrees. I don't mean to brag, but I am halfway, almost through an associate's at PCC. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm actually not even halfway. I don't even know why. Thank you.
I'm all for the learning.
All for the learning. That's true. My podcast is called Keep Classical Weird. But, I mean, has anything weird ever happened in the history of classical music?
No.
Oh, thanks for being here, Sophia.
Thank
it was
you.
Great to, yeah.
JK, a lot of weird stuff has happened. So much stuff.
So I thought it'd be fun, maybe for a couple of these, you've compiled like a list of just weird music facts.
Yes.
And these are always good to have in your back pocket when, you know, your relatives come over and they're like, oh, you're a musician. Will you play us something? And then if you don't want to, you can deflect. Mm-hmm. By saying, did you know? And then if it's weird enough, they stop asking you questions.
This is true.
So it's a really good tool. Do you want to do a two truths and a lie?
Ooh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, everybody. So we're going to share three factoids, three music factoids. One of them is a lie. Two of them are true.
Uh-huh. I have categories. Should we let the audience decide which category?
Are we ready to decide which category we want?
Okay. Okay. One category is John Williams. Another category is obsessions. Another category is near misses, physical ailments, and irresponsible musicians.
I mean, campers, you decide, but I think the last one is a clear frontrunner for me.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. We're glad we're on the same page. All right.
Okay. So fact number one. Beethoven studied with Haydn back in the day, and his town paid for him to go study with Haydn. And Haydn would assign homework assignments to Beethoven. And Beethoven didn't want to do those. Instead, he wanted to write his own music and get paid for his own music. So he would hire other people to do the composition exercises that Haydn gave him. And then he just lived in Vienna for free and wrote his own music. Which is brilliant, by the way. Do your own homework. Okay. Number two. Mozart didn't write an overture to his opera Don Giovanni, and so he had to write it the morning of the premiere because he procrastinated. Don't procrastinate.
Are you sure these weren't life lessons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Music is life. Okay. So number three, Ryan Zwahlen, our illustrious oboe teacher, brings his flute to every gig in the hopes that the actual flutist will irresponsibly forget their flute and he'll be able to step in and take over.
These are all really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so think about it for a second, and by applause, let me know which one you think is a lie. Okay? So the first one, that Beethoven paid somebody else to do the homework that Haydn gave him. Okay?
Second one, that Mozart procrastinated until the morning of Don Giovanni to write the overture. Interesting. All right, and then Brian bringing his flute to every gig. We're pretty evenly split. Yeah.
I like to think that everyone thinks Ryan would do that, but he doesn't. He doesn't do that.
Until now, Ryan's well and I'm... No, I'm just
kidding. He's taken over my job. Yeah, so Beethoven really did hire someone else to do his homework for Haydn, and Mozart did procrastinate and write the overture the morning of the premiere. So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I do have to say, I've had some papers that I've definitely written a few hours before they were due.
I've graded papers like that.
Okay, yeah. I feel like deadlines, hard deadlines, are a great motivator.
This is true, yes.
They shouldn't be. the joy of getting the work done and actually doing the, but sometimes it's just not.
Yeah.
Should we do one more category?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, what category?
I like the, what about John Williams?
Ooh, okay,
ooh,
yeah.
Somebody said yes. Do it.
Yes. Okay. Fact number one. Despite being a prolific composer in movies, he has never written anything for a concert hall at all. Fact number two. When he wrote the theme for Jaws, Steven Spielberg said, "That's a bad theme. I don't get it." Okay, all right. And number three, fact number three, John Williams worked as a jazz pianist and was known as Little Johnny Love.
Did he pronounce it like that?
Yes.
Little Johnny Love.
Little Johnny Love.
All right. I don't think, I have a guess, but I don't think I know this one. All right. A round of applause. John Williams never wrote anything for a concert hall. That's the lie. Number two, Steven Spielberg says, "I don't get your Jaws theme." And number three, what was the third one again?
Johnny Love.
Of course, Little Johnny Love. Oh. That doesn't sound right. Most people think that Little Johnny Love is true.
Yeah.
What's the lie?
Well, Little Johnny Love is true. He was a jazz pianist. And if you want a good reference to his jazz chops, he wrote the score for Catch Me If You Can.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's kind of a good insight into his life as a jazz musician. He has written multiple pieces for concert halls, solos, multiple works. So he's not just a movie composer or a TV composer as he started out. He has written music for everything. And it's really awesome. He's awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah.
Have you ever played with him?
No, but fun fact. Okay, so I used to house sit for the flutist who played in a ton of movie scores back in the 80s and 90s. I was not house sitting for her in the 80s and the 90s. I was a child. I'm not that old. But I was house sitting for her maybe 10 years ago, and the answering machine picked up the phone because someone was calling, and I was listening to the answering machine.
Hold up. Does anybody know what an answering machine is?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Please continue. All right.
Okay. Thank goodness.
That's important.
And the person on the phone was like, "Hi, Louise, blah, blah, blah. It's Johnny." And then he started talking about something. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's John Williams. They are like BFFs." Yeah. That's so awesome. I'm practically famous because I heard his voice on an answering machine.
We always knew this. We always knew this about you. Awesome.
That's probably a better fact than the other three.
They're all valuable facts. Thank you so much for sharing your facts with us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Sophia Tager. House band when they shrug after everything they play.
My next guest is going to take a bit of explaining. as you'll hear some big audience reaction. I had some cute little banter prepared for him, nothing major, and then I saw what he was wearing, and everything I thought of just flew straight out of my head. It's a little hard to describe, as it involves some, shall we say, unconventional uses of shirts, socks, and ties, but if you go to our Instagram page, you'll be able to see every single picture I have of it. Raul is quite the spectacle.
My next guest is one of the newbies at camp this year, so I'm very excited to talk to him and just see where his head is at. Will you please welcome Raul Gomez Rojas?
Hello! What's up?
Did everybody see this enough? Do you need to do another little spin? Another little promenade?
See what?
Nothing. How's it going, Raul?
It's going great.
Good. You enjoying your first year at camp?
I'm loving YMA. I really am.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, so you're the new guy here. So we got to make sure that you've learned your YMA facts.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do a quick set of trivia. Are we ready?
Ready.
Which faculty member has been here the longest?
Oof. I'm going to guess Scott Wright.
That's correct. Yes. Good. All right. All right, he got one. Hang on. The set of tall trees by the flag are called what? You don't help them. Ooh. I hear you all.
Bruno and Sophia.
That was so close.
I really have no idea.
That's all right. They're called the star trees.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I didn't know.
Do you know why?
Are they shaped and like planted in the shape of a star?
When you stand in the center of them and you look up, the points of the trees make a star.
Cool. I didn't know. I might have to check it out.
It's very cool. I would recommend checking that out. Which faculty member is traditionally known for getting coffee early every morning in order to stay on East Coast time?
Wow. Okay. East Coast. Ooh, that's a hard one.
Did you just look to the east to try and...
Who lives on the East Coast? I'll just guess randomly that it could be somebody who lives there normally or somebody who has family or connections there or they work remotely on the East Coast.
This is really good logic.
Can I have a clue?
Yes. It's the same one who's been here the longest.
Oh. Well, that's a freebie. It's John Halbert, just kidding.
That's right.
Scott.
It's Scott.
Okay, right.
There you go.
Right. Okay.
All right.
What a good clue.
You're welcome for that clue. Well, it's someone's birthday here at camp. What are the syllables that we shout in between every line of the birthday song?
Oh, I heard that once.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Cha?
Oh, you're so close. Does he get partial credit?
It was very loud.
It was
when
very loud?
They did it.
Well, then it should have stepped in.
Well, it's not cha because, wait, the third one is it cha-cha-cha?
The third one is cha-cha-cha.
Okay, so it's a boom, ching.
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 Yes.
Chin.
Like chin with a G on the end.
Okay. Okay, do I get points for that?
Partial credit? Okay. All right. All right, now we got a bunch of rapid-fire faculty questions. Are you ready?
Okay, I'll try.
All right. Who is infamous for eating all the camper snacks on the last night of camp?
Scott Wright.
Mm-hmm. Who has misplaced their iPad?
Scott Wright.
Whose iPad do I have within reaching distance of myself right now?
Tom.
No. Scott Wright.
Oh, okay.
Is Scott here?
Oh, if he's not, then he doesn't get his iPad back. All right, nobody tell him. It was left on a stand here when I was setting up for the podcast, and I thought it would be great if I just handed it back to him like a good sport at the podcast.
Now it's a prize.
Now I want to see what I can get for it. So Band Tomorrow will be directed by me. Are you ready for a few camper questions, Raul?
Sure.
All right. Y'all did great on the camper questions, by the way. Thank you so much for all of your submissions. They're so good. All right. Oh, what is your favorite part about classical music?
Storytelling. Yeah, it's. I just love finding stories in the music. And even if the piece that you're playing is not attached to any concrete stories, I think it's so fun to just come up with your own stuff. And it's also pretty useful to create your own interpretation of the piece.
Do you have any stories that are like particularly... that stick with you, some of your favorite stories to tell through music?
Not really. It's just, I feel like all music dictates something if you really kind of tune into it. But sometimes it takes sort of intentional searching for that story. But once you find it, it sort of gives you a core to your music making.
I got serious real fast, and I forgot this is an audio format, and I haven't even been describing what you're wearing right now. And that's doing a great disservice to everybody.
Let's talk about this.
Can we talk about it? So, sorry, let's back up.
I was honored last night at the counselor's skit that they do every year with an award, and that award was Best Dressed Faculty. I'm sure, but I'm feeling now that I'm under a lot of pressure. I feel like the societal expectations at YMA for my visionary leadership in fashion are just unreasonable. So it's an honor, and I feel very flattered, but I'm also now, I feel very lonely at the top. So now that these expectations are set, I feel like I really need to start pushing the envelope. For what it means to make statements through fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll do a little spin like you asked before if you really want me to.
Oh, do we need to see Raoul's outfit again? Yes, please.
I will say every single thing in this outfit means something. Everything has meaning. But I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Is this a storytelling opportunity?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the story.
I tell you what. Let's do a little promenade and catwalk. Could we have a fun little fashion music as you walk around, and I'll kind of announce what you're wearing and describe what you're wearing?
Yes. Okay. Will you give me a word? What am I? What's my intention? What's my operative word?
Your intention is to show tragically hip fashion at the top.
Tragically hip fashion.
Tragically hip. You got it? Are we ready? All right, here we go. And up next, Raul Gomez Rojas. Here he is wearing the latest YMA fashion. We've got, if I'm counting correctly, two ties, two shirts, one on backwards, a pair of khakis, a shoe representing the dark side, a shoe representing the light side.
That made me feel better. Thank you.
We all are welcomed here. No matter what your fashion sense. It's good. All right, let's do some more camper questions. Would you rather master your own instrument but never be able to play another, or master every other instrument but never be able to play yours again?
Oh, the latter for sure.
That was easy.
Yeah, I mean, I love the violin and viola, but there's so many other amazing instruments. I mean, and even think about outside of Western music too. So I'll take that like immediately.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Love to learn sitar.
Ooh, excellent. Can we have a sitar concerto next year?
You got it.
Awesome. Oh, I'm so excited for you to answer this question. Who's your favorite faculty member to play with?
To play music with?
Yep.
That's impossible. That no.
Are you sure?
I mean, it's gonna look. You know, the back to last night when I got my award for the best dressed faculty.
Uh-huh.
The best dressed faculty. Thank you. The skit that the counselors did at the end, the ending of the skit was, you know, basically this question: it's like best faculty, and the counselors that were playing, all of us, they all, you know, we all got the award. And I thought it was so beautifully done, so beautifully written, and really heartfelt. It didn't feel like pandering. And that's also my answer, honestly. Just when we played with the concerto orchestra with, you know, faculty performing, it was just a fun group, also with counselors and some campers. And it was also so emotional because for many of us, it was the first time performing as an orchestra, in my case, conducting, for the first time in 15 months after, you know, the after COVID pandemic. So it was really special. So my answer to that trick question is a trick answer, and it's all of them. Yeah. It's true.
There's been a couple last minute questions that have come in from an outsider source.
Really?
Really? If you could choose one song to play every time you left a room, what would it be?
Let's say the Imperial March from Star Wars to stay on brand.
Stay on brand. I love it. I'm so excited to ask you this next one because I don't know what this means, but the source suggested I ask it. How many Academy Award-winning films have you appeared in?
Wow, that's insider knowledge right there. I'm actually in one Best Picture Academy Award winning movie.
Great, next question. No, what was it?
it's the movie 12 Years a Slave. Anybody see it? It's a great movie. It's really hard to watch. It's you know, what the movie is about and the real events that it depicts are absolutely horrific and heartbreaking. But it was an incredible achievement in filmmaking. And at the time, I was living in New Orleans, and I, as one of many things that I was doing while I was down there, I somehow found myself working, booking musicians for films. And at the time, because of tax cuts and incentives, there were a lot of productions happening in Louisiana. So, you know, I got a call from a casting agent. They were looking for three musicians that fit certain, you know, they look for very specific looks. And they wanted two violins and one cello. And I told the person, hey, I think I fit the profile. Can I submit myself? And I did. And then I got hired to do this. So if you Google this movie, when you go back home after camp, I am in the background of the main promo still for the whole movie, and I was one of three chamber musicians playing in the restaurant at the beginning or towards the beginning of the movie. So if you ever watch that movie, look for me. I have a fake goatee and quite an outfit, but I have more stories, but yeah. I'll share them later about that particular day involving gut strings.
Oh, excellent. Oh my gosh, that could be a whole other episode. And then this might, I'm a little afraid of asking this last question because I'm afraid it might give away my source, but I'm gonna push ahead anyway. If you never had to do one again, which one would this be? Cooking or cleaning the dishes?
Cooking.
Just do away with cooking.
Yeah, I'll clean anything. So
different
here's the thing.
What my source said.
I love eating, but I, you know, there's so many people that are so much better at cooking than I am, that I would gladly trade cleaning for cooking. No question about it.
All right. All right. That was solid. Excellent. Let's do one more camper question. Okay. Last one. Last one for Raul. Here we go. I love you, campers. All right. What instrument do you play and why did you choose it over the cello? Oh, and then I should add, and there's a little subtext, or French horn.
Oh, okay. Both wonderful instruments, and they both blend beautifully together when, you know, and the right hands of a composer. I love the cello so much. I wish I played the cello. But my instruments are violin and viola, and I can't tell you why I wanted to play the violin. I actually started as a percussionist when I was in elementary school, marching band of my elementary school.
Oh, really?
But then I don't know. I just wanted to play the violin, and my mom, you know, took me to the Conservatory of the National Symphony back in Costa Rica, and you know, I never looked back. But I love the cello so much, and that's Bach. We were talking about this recently. The cello suites, or it was Jason who played Bach on solo bass at the faculty recital. Those pieces I wanted to play them so bad, and that's why I picked up the viola, because violists also play Bach's suites for cello solo. And after that, I actually absolutely fell in love with the viola. And this is not a question, but if you were to ask me if I had to pick one that I can only play it for the rest of my life, violin or viola, I picked viola.
Who is that applauding?
Come on, the viola is awesome.
The viola is awesome. You're not wrong.
It's an awesome instrument.
It's
so versatile. It's so beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
We get our own clef.
Mm-hmm. Nobody applauded for the own clef. That applause came to a dead stop when you mentioned the alto clef. Wow.
Not even the violist clef.
The violist, they were like, all right. All right. Yeah. Oh, we got time for one more. Last one. This is the last one. Eek. Oh, boy. All right. You've had a lot of really diplomatic answers. And this might come up again. Who's your favorite counselor? And why? I know.
Oh. You know, I'll say this, and I hope I love all the counselors, and I think they're the reason why the essence of YMA continues year after year, right? For 60 plus years, right? This is a group of people who passed on these traditions, and it's my first year, but I can see how, you know, if we have people who have been here for decades who say that the essence is the same, that's because of the counselors. So there's that. And I will say that my daughter Alma is around. She's two years and 3 months old, and she's been around a bunch of campers and a bunch of counselors. But she, I think, has spent the most time with Seneca and Etta, the two head mm-hmm. counselors. And they have been so sweet to Alma, so I'm going to go with a double answer of the two head counselors, Etta and Seneca.
Excellent. And I just want to take a second and echo your sentiments. Don't we love our counselors so much? As does Tom. Raul, thank you for being on my podcast.
I love your podcast.
Thank you.
Everybody, if you have not subscribed yet, you should.
That's you're hired to do my promo from now on. That's amazing. Raul Gomez Rojas, everybody. Thank you. mm-hmm.
My final guest is my colleague, dear friend, and one of the most adored faculty members at camp. He's going to reference the camp boat race, and I'm going to attempt to give you a little description. Each year, the campers are divided into groups, given an empty milk carton, and are instructed to decorate it so it can participate in a weird little regatta on a stream that flows through the campus. It's a highlight of every year, and the faculty has always had their own boat and come up with, shall we say, very creative ways to push the envelope with the rules. Do we cheat, though? Never. And with that, we'll end the show with John Hubbard.
I thought we'd have one more guest tonight who would for sure wrap it up with, I don't even know what he's going to wrap it up with, but he's, I think it's safe to say, one of the most beloved faculty members here at YMA. Please welcome John Hubbard. Thank you so much for being on my podcast, John.
Thank you for having me up here, Casey. I'm nervous. This is a lot harder than just playing the cello.
I did. Heather and Mario got their instruments, and no one else did. How's camp going for you?
It's been a great year. Oh, it's so good to see you all and to come back and celebrate this camp after having to take the year off and to see the energy and just getting to be with each other instead of quarantined at home. So here's to all of you.
So John, your first year and my first year, we started the same year.
Yes, we did.
So what do you remember about kind of those first crazy few years where we were the new people on campus and we didn't know what was going on and we had to ask somebody every 2 seconds, where are we supposed to be now? And
well, that's pretty much it. I remember looking at that schedule and just feeling like, yeah, every aspect, oh, where am I supposed to be now? But step by step and after a couple of days, it starts to fall in place and make sense. And it's complicated and we're moving all the time, but it just makes it so wonderful.
You're kind of known as the guy in charge of the faculty boat for the boat race every year, right? The undefeated faculty.
Exactly. In charge of.
Thank you.
Yeah. In other words, what Casey meant was I'm in charge of winning the boat race.
You put that so much more concisely than I did. Yes. Do you have? I mean, do you have some good boat years that stick out for you?
Boat years. Well, to answer this question, I'm going to have to reveal a secret that's been sort of a YMA secret for many years. But the Mad Leaf Blower was a particularly memorable
year. Was anybody
year.
Here for that? For the Leaf Blower year? All right.
So how much time do we have?
I'll cut you off when I need to. You just go
I'll
for
just,
it.
I'll finally reveal to the YMA community at large a little bit of the backstory. Just sitting and brainstorming, what are we going to do this year? I thought, well, wouldn't it be funny to blow a milk carton with a leaf blower? That I haven't seen any of them out there this year, but that year they were cleaning up the grounds and using these big gasoline engine powered leaf blowers with a big 4-inch tube on them. So I wandered up to one of the gardeners one day and I said, "Here's the story. We have this milk carton race down the mill stream, and could I borrow your leaf blower?" And I thought he'd say, "Absolutely not. It's dangerous." But he said, "Wow, sure. Come on over to the shed later on." And I went to the shed to get the leaf blower. And when I got there, they handed me a leaf blower that said, "Oh no, you need the rubber pants and the green suspenders and the rubber jacket and the hard hat." And here's how you run the engine. You need the boots, and they just, I walked out of there with 100 pounds of clothing I was wearing. I could barely move. So then I practiced starting the engine a few times in my dorm room. You have to fire it up and kind of get it idling for a while before you put it on your back. So you're putting a gasoline-powered engine while it's running on your back. And the rest is kind of history. I admit I did sort of terrorize the campus, walking by the windows, directly outside the window as everybody was eating lunch. I had a Rastafarian wig on, and I had a bandana around my face and dark sunglasses. So I was a little bit terrifying looking. And I'll tell you one more secret about that nobody knows till now. I put on the getup and thought I'm going to make an appearance and, you know, scare the dickens out of somebody, not realizing that it would happen sooner than I thought. And I, up in my sixth floor room, started up the engine and slung it onto my back with the yellow pants and the yellow jacket and the Rastafari wig. And I got into the elevator and pushed the button and went down to the first floor. And as the elevator doors opened, there was a poor unsuspecting citizen standing there outside the door.
A non-YMA citizen.
Non-YMA citizen had no idea whatsoever. The door opened and they jumped back 30 feet with a scream. And I said, I'm sorry. It's just a costume. We're racing milk cartons. And it didn't help solve the problem, the situation at all. But that was a fun year. It was a very fun year. I guess I can also tell you that on your mark and set, go. And we lowered our boats all into the water, and everyone's little boat started to sort of meander forward a little bit. And I showed up on the quad pretending that I was just casually leaf blowing. And as the race started, I wandered over to the start finish line and aimed my leaf blower right directly at the rear end of our boat. And with one little rev of the engine, the boat shot across, and it was 40 feet beyond all the other boats, just like that. But things went sour. Things went a little bit pear-shaped because I was being approached. I was being mobbed by people trying to tear off the sunglasses and the Rastafari wig to discover who is this leaf blower that's terrorizing the campus. So I had to make a skedaddle. I had to run. And the other boats caught up. We lost. But wait, no, wait.
No, we didn't.
No, we won. Oh, that's right.
We won that year.
We won. We won.
We won that year.
So good.
Yeah, I will say too, you also, I think you neglected to mention the voice of the leaf blower. John had a whole character.
That's true.
You became another person.
I don't remember, but I had a disgruntled voice. I was sort of, you know, coming through campus unhappy. I'd say I don't like working on the weekends. And I think I walked up to some young campers and said, "Give me a dollar. I need some gasoline." Of course, the campers ran screaming back to their counselors, "You need to do something about that man." And so I disappeared as quickly as I could. So it was a scary year. It was a scary year.
We're sorry.
It hurts to bring it up, actually.
John, you ready to answer some camper questions?
Aye. Let's do it.
All right. All right, we're starting off with a softball here. What is your favorite color?
My favorite color? That's easy. I just really love red. I really love red. I like red.
That's my favorite color, too. Did you
really
know that? All right. Oh, yeah, this one's hard to read. Let's see what happens here. Is Ligeti String Quartet Metamorphosis, in your opinion, a more serious or sarcastic piece? In general, what emotions does the serialist piece represent?
Wow, that's fun.
Serious. Somebody shoved that on a Post-it.
There are many composers that I really need to sit down and really sit and listen to. I know the Ligeti Cello Concerto, and I've looked at the music, which baffles me. It's an astounding piece. I can't believe it's when players play that piece. I need to get to know Ligeti better. Then what was the part about atonality or 12-tone specifically?
Serialist.
serialist.
Is it serious or sarcastic? Is the serialist piece serious or sarcastic?
Yeah, well, it's definitely serious. I mean, serial Alban Berg, the great operas, Wozzeck and Lulu. Gosh, there's some intense music written in a serial form. Personally, if you really want to know my opinion, sometimes I feel like the serialists went off the rails a little bit when they started kind of serializing rhythm. Because there's something for me about, you can play dissonances till the cows come home, but if there's a rhythmic drive, if there's a rhythmic pattern, I can enjoy it. That's just me personally. When the rhythms are spatial and the pitches are spatial and I don't really know what the piece is, if I just turned on the radio randomly, sometimes I have trouble hooking up with the music. But does that make sense to any of you? So
I thought that was a brilliant answer to that question. I didn't know what was going to happen. Okay. That was awesome.
I love the beginning of Beethoven 5 because it goes ba 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 ba, and that just means something to me.
That's an even better answer to that question.
Yeah, and if it were 12 tone and it went ba 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 ba, it still would be that rhythm, and I think that makes it way more easy for me to get to.
Excellent. Yeah. If you had the ability to turn into an animal, which one would you be and why?
Oh, an animal.
An animal.
Oh, let me just name a couple as I think about that. Wouldn't it be amazing to be a blue whale? Wow. What fun would it be to be an elephant and come through a town and there's a little, well, no, that's not nice. But to imagine an elephant being able to take their paw, do elephants have paws? And just sort of like crush a little building or something. No people inside of it. Elephants. Okay, what animal? Oh, what's that one that it's got a really funny name and it's like a sloth, but it's not a sloth. It's called a, it's hilarious.
You're not thinking of the nutria.
No, I don't want to be a nutria.
Okay, got it.
I can't deal with that tail. That's a horrific tail. But there's this kind of green tree sloth thing that just moves real slow, and they're just hilarious. And it'd be pretty funny to be one of those for a couple of days. Does that answer the question?
Thoroughly.
Okay, all right. I get off the track easily.
All right, we got time for one or two more. Let's see how this next question goes. That's also, what's your favorite color? We already asked.
Okay, blue. Another question.
Oh, why did you pick the instrument you play?
Oh, that's a fun story. And now I'll be completely serious. And it was pretty fun. That when I was very young, we lived in, I think, Lambertville, New Jersey, on the East Coast, before we came out to Los Angeles, where I grew up. And for a little while, there was this college-age man that lived with us. I think his family was kind of splitting up. His parents were splitting up. And I think he just, for whatever reason, he lived with us for a while, and he was a cellist. And after all these years, many, many years, I'll just never forget his name. His name was Dick Hodder, and he used to play the cello, and I just loved it. Then my mom was a musician. She was went to Westminster Choir College. She was a church organist and a piano teacher, and most of her career was in Los Angeles doing choral music in an elementary school. And she's a wonderful teacher, a really great teacher. And when we were kids, it was not sort of, do you want to play an instrument or not? It was kind of, she'd look us in the face and say, okay, what instrument are we going to play? And so my sister played flute, and my brother played the violin. They both gave it up after a while. But I really stuck with the cello, and it was so hard, and it was so hard for me to learn it. That, and I'm still learning it, so it's been a great friend for so many years. And maybe someday I'll be able to really truly play it the way I want to. And that's a really great feeling. I love that about the cello. So
that's a great answer. That's great. YMA, how much do we love John Hubbard?
There it is. That's what was missing. Thomas Barber, best house band ever. Since the rest of the house band want to come up one more time to play us out, I have a few thank yous here. Thank you, Heidi, for all of this tech stuff. Thank you to Galen and Neil, who said, hey, what if you did this? And then gave me no other instructions, so you trusted me a great deal to do this. So thank you. And thank you so much to Sophia Tager, Thomas Barber, Leander Starr, Michael Meyer, and Kevin Schlossman for being our house band. And I'm going to sign off. Sorry, you'll get to start in just a second, I promise. Thank you so much for letting me do this, YMA. This was a dream. This was lovely. Thank you. And I'm going to sign off and let the band play with my signature sign-up for all of my podcasts. Stay safe and stay weird.